Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Trinity Presbyterian Church in Arlington, Virginia. We are a welcoming church with a tradition of learning, fellowship, and service. Find out more on our website at trinityarlington.org. We hope you enjoy this sermon from our guest speaker.
Old Testament reading is Ezekiel 34:11-24. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among the scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture? And when you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? Therefore, says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from Matthew 25:31-46, page 807 in your pew Bibles. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always pleasing in your eyes. Amen. I have a confession to make. I was less than thrilled when I first looked at these texts with the thought of this sermon. These texts appear decidedly, emphatically not Presbyterian, especially the passage from Matthew. This is not to say that we don't like, at least in theory, feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, or visiting the sick and imprisoned. I mean, just look in your bulletin. Next Saturday, we're sending a group to feed the hungry in D.C. Trinity helps to support a family of refugees from Iraq. We recently concluded a coat drive, and I understand that on Christmas morning, people from Trinity will be going to sing carols at Virginia Hospital Center, thus visiting the sick. These are just the things that I could quickly come up with, and it's only been about 3 months since I first walked through these doors, so I'm certain that there is more. Trinity is, at least as a whole, checking these boxes. But checking boxes is not what we're supposed to be doing. A few weeks ago, we marked the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, a period of theological, civil, and military strife, premised, at least in part, on Luther's insistence that salvation was not a matter of earning points or checking boxes, but rather one of human faith and divine grace. Our own John Calvin went a little further, and while reserving some space for both human and divine judgment, put the whole question of salvation on divine grace. If we are saved, it is because God has chosen us. But today's texts give us none of that, for which we should be thankful. There is a common temptation among many Christians to engage in a practice called proof texting. Proof texting is the process of citing select verses or passages, often out of context, in order to prove a point or shut down an argument, possibly in a self-serving way. I'm sure that many of you can think of examples from within your own lives. Most of the rest of you can think of one or more examples from both fiction and nonfiction media. But if you're struggling, imagine someone citing an eye for an eye from Exodus 21 in order to justify a violent act, conveniently forgetting that in Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You have heard an eye for an eye, but I say, turn the other cheek." And yes, I just did a little bit of proof texting. It's good that today's texts can't be used as Presbyterian proof texts because it forces us to think more deeply. And I could stand here and give an academic-style lecture on Calvin's three uses of the law and how these criteria of judgment and salvation fit into a larger whole. But most of you don't want to hear that, so I'll restrain myself, and instead I'm going to talk a little bit about context and, eventually, cats. I'd like to talk about the fact that the image employed by both Ezekiel and Jesus is that of a shepherd. I noticed sometime within the past few weeks that someone in one of the classrooms just on the other side of the narthex there had written something like, "A good king is like a shepherd," on the whiteboard. I wish I knew more about what that class was covering, because it might have been one of these texts or any one of many others. The theme of the shepherd leader is a consistent and recurring one throughout Scripture and also the wider ancient world. And it includes many familiar names, beginning with Jacob, Moses, and David, all three of whom were at some point in their lives actually shepherds. And of course, it continues to include Jesus, who is more of a metaphorical shepherd. Now, shepherds, of course, as we know, are individuals responsible for herding and caring for groups of animals, usually sheep, rams, goats, and the like. To a large degree, the job of the shepherd is facilitated, or at least made possible, by the natural desire of herd animals to stay together. Remember that, because as I said, in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about cats. Our reading from Ezekiel offers up some of the reasons why a shepherd is a good model for a king. A shepherd seeks out lost members of the flock, ensures access to good food and clean water. A good shepherd would pay particular attention to the weaker animals to ensure that they become stronger and would work to protect the weaker animals, such as sheep, from stronger ones, like rams and goats, to make sure that they aren't beaten up on too much. Now, Ezekiel, in chapter 34, is speaking from Babylon to his fellow captives from Judah, an audience who would certainly like the first part of what we heard today. They would have heard Ezekiel promising that God would bring them, as well as the Israelites scattered after the fall of the northern kingdom sometime before, back into the Holy Land, that Jerusalem would be restored and the temple rebuilt. And for Ezekiel, this is good news timely delivered, since he has just finished telling this same audience not only that Jerusalem and the temple had been destroyed, but that it was their fault. Because the leaders of Judah had been bad shepherds. Their harsh treatment of their flocks, the people of Judah, had scattered the animals and left them weak and defenseless and vulnerable to the wild animals and foreign conquerors. It was the failures of these leaders to whom Ezekiel was speaking that was forcing God to intervene by directly acting as a shepherd before eventually appointing a designated shepherd whom Ezekiel identifies as being in the line or model of David. This is the mantle that Jesus is claiming in our passage from Matthew. But, as often is the case, Jesus includes a few twists. Now, the text from Ezekiel would have been well known certainly to Jesus and likely to many, if not all, of the people to whom he was addressing. And they would have noticed the differences. Ezekiel spoke of gathering sheep from amongst the nations. Jesus speaks of gathering the nations. Ezekiel spoke of the responsibilities of leaders, while Jesus speaks of the responsibilities of all people. Ezekiel spoke of a coming shepherd for the Hebrews. Jesus claims to be a shepherd for all humans. Both Jesus and Ezekiel speak of shepherds separating sheep and goats, animals often kept by shepherds and as familiar, if not more familiar, to their audiences than to us today. In the case of Jesus, shepherds appear at the very beginning of his story as the first to hear of his birth. Both Jesus and Ezekiel use this metaphor to describe ideal leadership. It is, for the reasons I've already discussed, an apt and well-known metaphor. But I think it has a key flaw. We are neither sheep nor goats. I've already said that a shepherd's job is largely rendered possible by the fact that sheep and goats basically want to stay together. Humans, not so much. We may like to come together in smaller groups from time to time, but if we really look at humanity as a whole, we are, and always have been, or at least since the fall, desperate to find reasons to maintain distance from one another. We are cats. Cats are so notoriously averse to hurting that the idiom, "it's as hard as hurting cats," was tested by Mythbusters. I wish I could say it went about as well as you expect, but it was worse. Humans are so averse to hurting that we created the pejorative sheeple. Now, sheep generally want to know what the shepherd wants them to do so that they can do that. Cats want to know what their person wants of them so that they can do anything else. Now, don't raise your hands. I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. But how many of us have, let's just say in the past week, knowingly, consciously made an unhealthy decision? Don't lie to yourself. We all know what Thursday was. A flock of sheep left alone for a time will require some regathering, but will be grateful, at least so I hear. Whereas a cat will punish you for having left. And there are so many places that I could go with this for humans that I will not choose one, but will let each of you take a moment and think for yourselves. Sheep are reasonably constant animals, but cats are fickle, appearing grateful for attention right up to the moment they decide to sink their claws or teeth into your hand. The stories of the Bible and all of human history are stories of cats. But there is hope. Despite this, despite all the scorn, punishment, moodiness, and sneak attacks, cats show their people. People still love their cats. The internet at this point could be not unreasonably described as a place where people go either to stoke rage or to look at pictures of cats. And now, hurting cats, I've said, is difficult, but it is not impossible. Some of you may have heard of cat cafes, a phenomenon I do not entirely understand, but which exists. There is, I believe, one in Georgetown. And I've never been to a cafe that was created with the intent of being a cat cafe. But I have been to Alon Cafe in Wahat al-Salam / Nev Shalom. Wahat al-Salam, Nev Shalom, is a village about halfway between Haifa and Tel Aviv in Israel. The village's name consists of the Arabic and Hebrew phrases, respectively, translating to Oasis of Peace. This is a village founded by both Jewish and Palestinian citizens of Israel who sought to, among other things, provide a model for Jews and Palestinians not just living peacefully, but cooperatively together. At the entrance to the village, there is a cafe called Alon, which is the Arabic word for welcome. This cafe is run by a couple named Diana and Ryak Rizik, and I'm probably pronouncing that terribly. My apologies. I didn't have much opportunity when I was there to speak with Diana, but we did have some time with Ryak, who was also a founding member of the village. There is much in Ryak's story that is worth telling, but right now I want to focus on just one thing. The dozen or so cats who roamed the cafe while we ate and talked. Neither Ryak nor Diana set out with the intention of having one cat, much less, if I remember correctly, the more than 20 they had somehow found themselves providing care. Ryak simply showed up to open the cafe one morning, and there was a cat, tired, weak, and hungry. So, Ryak set out some food. Over time, additional cats found their way to the cafe, and even as they accumulated, Diana and Ryak kept putting out food each morning and making sure that there was enough for however many cats happened to show up that particular day. Eventually, they arrived one morning and one of the cats was injured. Now, this is not a particularly well-off or bustling cafe. They weren't entirely certain how that they were going to afford this, but they knew they needed to take this cat to the vet. And thus, veterinary care was added to the services to which they provided these cats. Now, these cats, many of whom at this point no longer just showed up in the morning, but they now spend their days lounging with the customers in the open-air seating area of the cafe. Without ever trying or even so much as wanting to, Diana and Ryuk Rizek are herding cats. Despite all of our human flaws, all of our pettiness, intransigence, our fickle feelings toward ourselves, each other, and even toward God, we live in a world with Diana and Ryuk Rizek. We have a God who cares for us as they care for those cats. We have not just a shepherd capable of herding sheep, but a shepherd king. Thanks be to God. And now, as we go forth out of these halls, may joy and nothing less find you on the way. May we be blessed and blessings be, and may God's own light guide you and countless others all the way home. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed by this sermon from our guest speaker. Join us again next week for another sermon podcast, and while you're at it, visit us on the web at trinityarlington.org.